You are listening to Ron Van Dam, a man who sold his soul for fame and fortune and didn't keep the receipt. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
All right.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Yes, it is. Don't argue with me. I'm not in the mood. Are you actually going to wear that while I do this show? How do you even leave the house dressed like that? Unbelievable. What I do is, at the beginning of the show, I insult my audience so they're on a lower level than I am, and then I sound commanding. It works. All right. Okay. Well, let's see. Day before Friday and the day after Wednesday. You figure it out. All right, that's enough. That's enough theme music. Okay, fine. That's enough. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. It is not only a pleasure to have you within my perimeter, but it's a necessity. It's a necessity. You can't do a show if nobody's listening, so thank you for showing up. All of you, actually. Quick look under your seats. I've got a little something for you under your seats. Yep, it's gum that I chewed 6 years ago. Thank you. You know, we all have fond memories of our parents. If you're old enough to have fond memories of your parents. And I do, and I think we all do. I think we all have the fond ones, and we also have the that was awful ones. Right? Because that's part of growing up. It's okay. You don't have to feel guilty about the little skirmishes when you were a child. My father, rest his soul, he's resting. He had a habit that was like unbelievable. I'm going to tell you a little story about my father. Ron, do we have to hear this? No, you'll enjoy it. I swear you're going to enjoy this. It's going to change your life forever. Here's what happened. I had a brother as well. There were the two of us, me and my brother, and we would play hide and seek in the house all the time. Did you play hide and seek, kids? Millennials, do you know what hide and seek is? One of you hides somewhere and the other one makes believe they're seeking them. You always know where the other person is, you just don't want to end the game so quickly, so you make believe you're looking in other places. It's a life lesson game. You know what's going on, but you don't want to admit it so quickly. You play stupid for a period of time is what you're doing. So, it's my brother hides. I find him. He always hid in the closet. Nothing to do with anything sexual here, but he would hide in my mother's closet, and always figure that no one would ever see him in there. Although I was smart enough to realize that clothes hanging in a closet don't have legs. So I would always find him in the closet eventually, you know, when I felt like giving it up. Then it would come time for me to hide. And I also hid in a place that no child ever thinks of hiding, which showed my stupidity when I was a child. I would hide under my father's bed, thinking that, God, who would ever look under a bed when you're playing hide and seek? It's just like, whoa, no one would ever do that. I'm being sarcastic, by the way. So I would get down on my back and I would shimmy myself under my father's side of the bed. And I remember I would be lying there face up. You don't want to lie face down when you're hiding under a bed. Then you can't breathe and you die down there. That's not good. You got to be face up. So I'm there and I'm holding my hands up under the bed. And I feel these strange, hard things on the wooden part under the bed. And I'm wondering, what is this? So is this chewing gum? What are these hard things hanging from the bottom of my father's bed underneath? What could they possibly be? Stalactites? Stalagmites? Stilettos? I don't know. I didn't know what those words meant. And I'm feeling these things like, wow, they're hard. And is the wood like dripping and then hardening? What's going on? And then I realized these things in mass quantities under my father's bed, that's dried nose booger snots. Oh my God, ew! What could be more disgusting? They've hardened over the years. And I'm touching them. Ew. My father had a horrible habit, apparently, of picking his nose in bed. Now, I will be the first to admit if I did, I don't do that. Oh, no, no, no. But I know people that do. I've been tempted to do it, but instead I grab for a tissue or something. My father didn't do that. He apparently would take these things that were out of his nose and now on his fingers and pull his arm around under his bed as he was lying in bed and stick them to the bottom of the bed. Habits continue for periods of time eternally. It starts with one booger, and it turns into 7,000 of them in all different shapes and sizes and things like that. And I guess they harden over the years. Well, I got to tell you, as soon as I realized what was under my father's bed, I ended that hide-and-seek game rather abruptly. My brother didn't have to find me. I was quite obviously ending that game immediately. And suffice to say, we never played hide-and-seek again. That was an experience that I shall never forget. Now, do I blame my father for what occurred? No. No, we all have our disgusting habits. I don't want to go through them, but we all pick at ourselves in some way. Ron, I don't do that. Oh, shut up. You do. We all have some disgusting habit that nobody will ever know about. Maybe your spouse knows about it, but that's the number one person you would hide this from. We all have something that we do with ourselves or to ourselves that nobody ever knows about. Even nuns have something like, even priests, oh my God, priests, I mean, you know, don't even go there. You know, nobody's perfect is what I'm trying to say. That's what I remember about my father. Nothing harmful involved here, just a lousy, disgusting habit. Again, we all have something like that that we do that nobody knows about. Except me, of course, because I can say that I don't have any of those disgusting habits. You would never know if I did or not, but I don't. But you wouldn't know if I did, but I don't. Just think about the stuff you do. Is there something that you do that's just like, oh, no one should ever know about this? Oh, my God. It's harmless, but no one should ever know because I am disgusting. Yeah, everybody's got something like that. Anyway, I guess the point of what I've just talked about is that we're all human. Except for Trump supporters. I still can't figure that out. Anyway, why alienate a little over a third of my audience? That's the latest survey as far as I've heard. I don't know. Anyway. Yeah. I mean, I was watching the news this morning. I shouldn't watch the news before I do this show. I do this show very early in the morning, by the way, just a little behind the scenes thing. I'm not doing this live as you're listening. I record these shows freshly every morning at about 6 a.m. and I release it to the public by 7. And that's how that goes. I try not to watch the news in the morning because I just get so engrossed about all that. The news is like picking your nose and putting that under the bed. It's like that. I'm embarrassed. I love this country, but I'm embarrassed right now because Congress is admittedly, they actually admit that they are screwed up and dysfunctional. Oh, great. That's nice. How about you people do something about it instead of just admitting it? Everything's screwed up on a government level. I really, you know, people are trying to just, I don't know. How about, hey, see all these people walking the planet? How about us? Hey, how about us? Yeah, put down your power and your money and you're trying to screw each other. Put that down for a minute and hey, how about us? The people you're supposed to be representing. Hello? Start talking to your constituents. Try spelling that word. Try talking to them and asking them what they really want and then kind of do that because I think that's what you're supposed to be doing. You're not supposed to be, well, no, they voted me in because they think that what I do is proper, so that's what I do. When I was I was doing a morning show on broadcast radio for like 25 years. So we're still on syndicated stations, but I used to do like a 3-hour morning show on these stations. And we would get into the politics, and when a politician or somebody was running for a local office or for governor or something like that, they would come on my show and I would interview them about, oh, what are you going to do? What are you going to do for the town? What are you going to do for the city? What are you going to do for the state? What are you going to do for the country? All that kind of stuff. I would interview them, and they were the questions were like almost always the same. But there was one split in the response to my questions that became very prominent every single time, that there are two types of people who represent you and running for some kind of office. And my question was, pure and simple, do you believe that as a representative, you are being voted in to do what you think is right? Because the public doesn't know everything. So they're voting you in to do what you think is right. Or are you going to be in office to do what the public wants? Are you going to keep in touch with the public and find out exactly what they want? And that's what you will fight for. Which is it? Well, some of the politicians, people running for office, said, no, they're voting me in to do what I think is right, so that they don't have to worry about that. And my decisions, they're voting, saying my decisions are the proper ones, and I will do what I think is right. And the other politician said, no, it's not about me. It's about the people I represent. I will do what they would want me to do at any given time, and I will keep in touch to find out what they would want me to do, and I will do it because I represent them pure and simple. Those were the two camps. And that makes a very big difference, I think, in how things should work. I think in this country we should vote on everything. not just people in office and not just little questions on your state or local ballots. I'm not talking about that. I think that the country should be polled in a national vote on big issue items like the abortion thing, like immigration, you know, some ideas. Which do you think is the best idea? What do you think we should do? I think they should poll. And I think that way our representatives would know what the public is thinking about, not just the people that they happen to run into. That's true democracy. No, Ron, you've got it wrong. When they voted me into office, I'm supposed to represent what I think is best for my people. Okay. Those are the two camps. None of those camps are being represented in Congress anymore. The only people who are in Congress, for the most part, are those that don't represent the people. They are just there to do what they think is best, to make sure that they are prominent, can move up the ladder, can make a lot of money, feel the power of being special, being called a senator or a representative, that stature. That's what I am. That's what I do. I was voted into office. I represent the people. That kind of attitude. We don't need egos in politics. We don't need power-hungry people in politics. We don't need grandstanders in politics. I've talked about this before. We need people that know how to negotiate to get something done. You'll never get everything you want. Are you married? Do you have a boyfriend, a girlfriend, whatever your sexual thing may be? Do you realize that you will never get everything that you want? In a relationship, you find the middle ground and you do that. Sometimes you get your way, sometimes I get my way. But we usually find it in the middle somewhere, and we agree to disagree, and we go on with our lives loving each other. That's a relationship. Nobody gets everything that they want. It doesn't work that way. Those marriages don't last very long. Those relationships don't last any long, very long. Those friendships don't last very long. Now, there needs to be respect in there. And there needs to be the understanding that nobody wins. You give it up sometimes. That's what politicians need to do. But they don't. But they should. Because otherwise, nothing gets done. And that's where we are now. Funny little thing. We talk about our politicians getting too old. I don't care. Sometimes old is wise. I mean, I don't want young politicians making these grandiose mistakes because they haven't been through it yet. No. Sometimes being old is being wise. You use that. In most cultures, not here, but in most cultures, the older person is the wise one because they've been through it and they know. They've been scarred. They know the deal. So that didn't bother me. But here's something that happened recently. Donald Trump was in an interview. Somebody was interviewing him. Donald Trump should not be interviewed, should not be doing anything because everything comes out of his mouth. Could be a problem for himself. Anyway, Donald Trump says in this interview, Joe Biden, man, he's going to lead us into World War II. And, excuse me? What did you just say? Yes, he's going to lead us into World War II. Don, that happened like a long time ago. You mean World War III? No, I mean World War II. Oh, Don! That could be stress. That could be the fact that you're facing 91 counts in indictments all over the place, and any you losing any one of those 91 is going to put you in jail probably for the rest of your life, or at least restricted type of living. Out of 91, your chances of getting indicted and convicted are pretty good, Donnie. I think that's on his mind. And well, it should be. So, I don't know. Hey, watch out for World War II, kids. I mean, anyway. Okay. I have an interesting guest coming up momentarily. But first, there's this.
Have you been injured in an auto accident? Have you thought about maybe getting injured in an auto accident? Every day, hundreds of people around the country win very profitable lawsuits for the injuries they've suffered in auto accidents. But it's not always easy to find an auto accident to be involved in that you yourself didn't cause. That's where I come in. Attorney Jimmy LaGuardia, aka Crash Boom Jimmy. I can not only represent you in your injury lawsuit case, but I can help you arrange and be involved in the very accident for which you're seeking to collect. After years on the job, I know a guy who knows a guy who probably knows a guy who can thoughtfully arrange your accident to the degree you want, from gentle fender bender to near-death experience. And if you do happen to die in your accident, there is no cost to you for my services. Attorney Jimmy LaGuardia, call me now at 555-CRASH-BOOM for your free consultation. Probably somewhere down near the docks where there aren't a lot of cameras, or maybe in the back room of my cousin Lorenzo's restaurant. They make such a good brujol, you can't believe it. 555-CRASH-BOOM. Call me today, because with Jimmy LaGuardia, winning your lawsuit is no accident.
Natalia Brown joins us. She's Chief Client Operations Officer at National Debt Relief. And Daisha Kennedy, who is founder of Brokeback Girl and member of National Debt Relief's Financial Wellness Board. Great titles. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Well, this is our conversations today are based off of a survey that was conducted recently. Tell me about that survey, please.
Oh, of course. So at National Debt Relief, we really wanted to understand how generational differences impact attitudes and behaviors around people's money habits. And we found some really interesting things. But the bigger takeaway was it confirmed the need for more actionable tools that can help change people's behaviors across all generations. So we found 60% of people admitted to making poor decisions when it comes to money, and 42% claimed they were going through current financial struggles. Uh-huh. On the flip side, a majority of people claim that they have at least some information on how to develop money habits, good money habits, but 50% weren't actually incorporating them. So just because you know better doesn't always mean that you do better. And when it came to millennials, they actually seem to have more awareness, with 71% kind of owning up to their money habits. And 45% of them said that they were equipped with that information from, you know, books, influences, podcasts, and apps. Yeah. They were more actively using that knowledge more than any other generation. So it was really interesting to find these things across generations. And at National Debt Relief, we kind of just want to help people with their, we don't want to just help people with immediate debt, but we're looking to change behaviors and contribute to more secure financial futures for people and their families.
Yeah. There are two sides to it. There are those that are not, you know, made some bad choices, as you said, about 60% admit to that. But then when you really have to pay the bills and there's things that you've got to acquire in order to survive, that's a little sadder. You know, that's like, okay, that wasn't your choice. It's something you had to do. So,
right.
Yeah, but they both involve debt relief. What is the major cause of debt relief as far as the entity is concerned? Is it credit cards? Is it college? What have you found to be the biggest reason? Where is it debt from?
So that really comes from all different types of places. Mm-hmm. We found that, you know, people end up in debt because of medical issues, right? Because there might not be enough medical coverage or medical insurance at all.
Yes.
We see credit card use, some people using credit card for necessities, right? Because income might not be meeting the standard.
Right.
And then there's, you know, some people are embarrassed about it, but the truth is there's a lack of financial education mm-hmm. Across all generations, and sometimes we overspend. And Daisha definitely has great, you know, tips on how not to do that. But it's exactly that. It's, you know, it comes from different places, and not having, you know, an emergency fund, a blown tire can set you back and, you know, put you in a situation where, you know, rent or mortgage can't be made. So there's a number of different reasons why people end up in debt. The only thing I want to make sure is, you know, people understand that it's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's something that can be handled. And National Debt Relief is one of those places. Absolutely, you know, cater to our folks in that matter.
Well, I'll tell you, I think the real culprit are credit cards that charge 17-20% as an annual percentage rate. I mean, that's like, what are you doing? You know, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay. There are ways to get out of this, though, and that's where you come in, because there are ways to settle for less of a payment and then not having to get into debt again. That is what you do, right?
That is what we do. We tailor our plans for our clients. We try to make it as affordable as possible. We, you know, kind of compare what the minimum payments were to creditors, and we try to find a deposit that's reasonable. And we try to resolve faster than paying those minimum balances, anywhere between 24 and 48 months.
Yeah.
And the other thing that we love to do is make sure our clients are supported. So we always give tools, and we have a great client portal and a great community for our clients to join so that they're supported throughout their entire program.
Mm-hmm. And then the second part of the equation is to make sure it doesn't happen again, right?
Absolutely. By the time our clients leave the program, they actually have great money habits because they've been making a monthly deposit anywhere between 24 and 48 months. That deposit then turns into savings because now you're used to using that, you know, having that money set aside and put into the dedicated account. Now that money can go towards the building savings and an emergency fund and then doing some of those fun things that, you know, you wanted to do, but now you don't have to do it on a credit card. You actually have the savings for it. So once people leave our program, we actually have a joke where we don't want our clients back. We want them to stay away. We want them to have healthy financial lives.
Right. Not everybody has to drive a luxury car.
Absolutely not. It's not necessary. If it gets you from point A to point B, I think that's more important than it looking a certain way.
Actually, it's way less expensive. There's no question about it. You want to change a tire on a luxury car? That's like $2 million. Come on. That's ridiculous. Anyway,
that's not reasonable.
Yeah, a lot of it's common sense and you know, and not social stature. You know, a lot of that is. I see people that are in debt driving around in cars that they shouldn't be in and don't really need to be either. Okay. So there is safety in numbers in the sense, as you say, it's shameful to some. They know they made mistakes or they don't want to let people know they fell on hard times, etc. But as you say, it's like disease. If you know, you're not the only person that has this. I mean, like tons of people have the same problem.
Absolutely. Lots of people are kind of, you know, hiding it. I mean, some people, I've seen people hide it from their spouses. That's something else.
Yeah,
that,
sure.
You know, resulting in more stress and more anxiety because they're hiding it. So we're trying to change that narrative where debt is not shameful. It is something that can be handled. It can be handled quickly, responsibly, and, you know, with support.
Excellent. Now, how can people get this information and hook up with somebody of like yourselves?
Sure. So we have a website. It's called nationaldebtrelief.com. There's tons of information on there where there's frequently asked questions and some of our client testimonials. Or you can give us a call at 800-718-0487. And there you'll get a free consultation. There is no requirement to join our program, but we'll definitely go through an assessment and try to figure out what's affordable for our individuals that give us a phone call.
You know, I do thousands of interviews. Thank you for giving out a phone number. I mean, that is so rare. It's like, just go to the website and do it yourself. I like that the phone number, you speak to a person. Thank you for that. Okay.
You're very welcome.
It's been a pleasure speaking to you both. Take care. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, thank you to my guest and thank you to you, and I wish you peace.